Dude, was that not like seriously one of the funniest things you've ever seen? Oh my gosh. I crack up every, I pretty much watch that once a day.
Just,
so, you know, like Kevin said, tonight's going to be a little bit more informal. I just kind of want to share with you guys kind of how I've come to where I am now. And just through this series of events that has happened in my life literally over the last 5 years, and how God really was trying to get a hold of me, and just some things, crazy things that have happened in my life that are just too much of a coincidence to think that they're a coincidence, that it's definitely the Lord who's been after my heart. And so I kind of want to do this, the way I'm going to do this is a little bit kind of with a template of Ephesians 2 and 3. We're going to read a little bit of scripture, and I'm going to kind of use that as I tell my testimony. So just one thing I want you guys to think about is that, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I don't have a crazy testimony. And I just want you guys to know that too, that the Lord, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be an ex-gang member or survive 10 gunshots or 4 car crashes for the Lord to want to use you. He wants to take you just the way you are, and he wants to use you just the way you are, and he really wants to get a hold of your heart and do great things through you. So the first part I want to talk about is going to be Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, we're going to read it in just a second, but the gist of it talks about here is that when we're all born dead in our trespasses, meaning dead in our sins, meaning if there's nothing, if there's no change, if we're never reborn again, then we're doomed to a life of death and eventually into hell. So we're going to read Ephesians 2, 1. So it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in you, the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the others." So I grew up pretty normal. I'm from Denver, from Colorado, and you know, I'm not proud to say, but you know, when I was younger, I was into a lot of things. I was definitely into the world. I was a partier. I drank. I had multiple tickets for drinking under the age. I, you know, had inappropriate relationships with girls, and you know, I was really caught up in the world and really caught up in a life of sin. And honestly, I never thought there was a problem with it. I grew up in a kind of a household that believed in God, of course, and I kind of justified it and said, I'm not out there hurting anybody. You know, everything I do is my own personal thing, and everything I do, it's to myself. I'm not out there, you know, murdering people, and I'm not out there, you know, bad mouthing people. Like, you know, all that I'm doing, it's cool, you know, and everybody, well, my friends are doing it, and so it's great. There's no problem there. You know, I felt like there's no problem. So after high school, I got a job. It kind of fell into my lap, and this really is how God really used this whole scenario to kind of bring me to him. So I got a job cooking. Literally driving down the road one day, and my sister calls and says, "Hey, they just fired a bunch of people at my job." She worked at P.F. Chang's. She goes, "They need cooks like right away. So I bet you could get a job like today if you wanted a job." And I was like, I'm right out of high school, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I could use some money, you know, to buy on, you know, partying and hanging out and food and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, no problem. That'd be great. So I go there that day. Within like 4 hours of that phone call, I get the job. So I'm like, sweet, you know, right on. So, you know, I end up really liking it, and I end up working real hard at it. And, you know, meanwhile, still living my normal life. And I get promoted to, you know, a step up from a cook to a supervisor, and then keep working hard. And then after that, I got promoted to a line leader, which is the next step up. And then after that, kept working hard. They let me open up a new restaurant, and I did that. I became the assistant chef, and I just kept working at it. And then I eventually got promoted again and got asked to open up another restaurant, and worked there for about a good year. And met my now fiance. I met her there at work. two different, completely different people now than we were then. But she was from Albuquerque, but I met her in Denver. She had moved up there to go to school, and so she was from here. I never knew anything about Albuquerque, and we'll get to that in a second about how I got there. But so, you know, we were together. We were a girlfriend and boyfriend. And, you know, we lived together. We had a, you know, and we had an improper relationship, definitely impure. And there was nothing wrong with that because that's what my sisters did. That's what my family did. And, you know, we didn't think twice about it. So one day we were out on vacation hanging out, and I get a phone call from my boss, and he says, "Hey, you finally got, this is your opportunity. I want you to be the executive chef, the head chef, like the top position at your store. You know, you've been working so hard for it. I think you're ready for it." And I said, "Oh, awesome." And I'm like thinking, man, it's going to be downtown Denver or like Loveland and up north. And oh, I can't imagine where it's going to be. So I go, "So boss, where's it going to be?" And he says, "Albuquerque, New Mexico." And I'm like, "Where?" And he's like, "Albuquerque, New Mexico." And I'm like, I've literally probably never even heard that name before. So, but you know, I've been working so hard over the last 5 years that I was like, I'm not going to give this up. Of course I'm going to take this job. I'm going to do whatever I have to do because that's just who I was. I was in the world. I was all about promoting myself and all about, you know, making money and doing those things. And so I took the job and I asked my girlfriend of that time, the same girl, you know, my fiance now, I said, "Will you please come with me? I can't do this alone." And she said, "Yeah, I'm actually from Albuquerque." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, like that's crazy, right? Like, you're from Albuquerque and I don't know anything about it." So we came down here and we lived together and, you know, we just lived our life here. We didn't go to church. We didn't think about God. We didn't do any of those things. We just, you know, lived what the world says is a normal life, right? And so this, you know, I had a certain level of respect with P.F. Chang's and my job. So they asked me one weekend, actually a week, to go back to Colorado and help out with a store that had been struggling. So, you know, being that guy who's always willing to say yes and everything, I said, "Sure, yeah, let me do it." So I go up there for a whole week. And meanwhile, my girlfriend is here, and she's by herself. We have no family here. Even though she was from here, her whole family moved out of here. Everybody was gone. So it was just literally her and me. So when I went up to Colorado for a week, she didn't want to be alone. So she decided that she would go up and visit her family too, because her family now lived in Denver. So she went up and visited her family, but I was so busy at work, I didn't even have time to see her or anything. So I was just working that whole week, right? And she was hanging out with her family. So she came back even before I got back. So she got up really early this one morning because her flight left at like 8. So Denver's crazy. It's not like here. You actually have to like get to the airport like 2 hours early. Here you can like, you know, drive up like 5 minutes before your flight and walk through the gate. No problem. But in Denver, you seriously have to like get up early. So she's rushing on the airplane to get there, or in the car to get to the airport. And she's not listening to the weather reports, not listening to anything. It's kind of stormy. There's low clouds, but you know, she's not thinking anything of it. So she literally, you know, her mom drops her off at the gate of the airport, and she runs in and she gets to the gate and she's like ready to get on the plane. And she realizes like, where is everybody? Like, what's going on? The plane's been delayed for like 5 hours. So she's like, oh man, I could have been sleeping, hanging out with my family for a little bit longer. And the mom's gone already. So she's just hanging out now. And so she's like, well, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I guess I'm going to, you know, I'll go to the bookstore. They have a really cool bookstore inside the airport. So she goes to the bookstore and she starts looking around and, you know, she looks over in the section of Christianity and religions and, you know, she's no joke, like kind of picking what book she's going to read. Maybe it's a book about Buddha. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be about a book about Jesus or, you know, she doesn't really have any strong convictions either way. She's just looking for a good book. And, you know, she believes in God to some point. She doesn't know what that means, if, you know, how personal this God is and those things. But she ends up picking up a book by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. And if you guys know that, obviously, C.S. Lewis is a gigantic Christian author. He's, you know, brilliant, wrote several books, taught. He's just, you know, a great man of faith, an amazing Christian. So she starts reading this book in the airport, and she feels so convicted about the things that are said in the book that she right there gives her life to God inside the airport, which is crazy, like literally right there. So Meanwhile, you know, she doesn't say anything to me. I'm just still at work, right? So a couple days have passed, and I come in back to Albuquerque, back in the house. You know, we're living together, and I'm just like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, everything's normal. And she's just a little bit different. And I'm just like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, everything's great, actually. You know, I just have a bunch of stuff I really like to talk to you about. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah, let's go talk. Maybe we can go talk about it, at, you know, over a beer or something like that, you know, something. And she's like, yeah, maybe not. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And she's like, yeah, I just don't know if I want to do that stuff anymore. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want it? And she's just like, well, something kind of happened the other day. And you know, I ended up giving my life to God. And, you know, obviously, as ashamed as I am, I didn't treat her very well. I kind of was like, what are you looking for? I mean, what do you mean you're going to live for God? Yeah, I know there's a God. I know there's a God too, but it's cool. We're good people. Like, what are you worried about? And she's just like, no, but that's just the thing. It's more than that. It's not about being a good person. It's about having Christ in your life. And I was just like, what is going on here? Like, what just happened in the last week? Like, I get called up to go help out at work and, like, everything, you know, falls apart down here. So I'm like, I can't believe this. You know, this is insane. So I literally leave. I'm like, I just got to get out of here for a little while. Like, I'm down in Albuquerque. I'm far away from my family. You're the only person I have here. And now you're going to tell me that you're going to live for God? What does this all mean? I don't even know. I'm like trying to process all this, obviously. And it's not, you know, an easy thing to do because I've been with her for over 2 years at this point, and I'm pretty used to the way we, you know, we are in our relationship and everything. And so it's just, you know, very weird. So I leave and I'm just, you know, walking around, just like literally went for a walk and just trying to make sense of all this, like, and pretty much blaming God, like, you know, because I felt like I believed in God. I always did, but I just didn't feel like God was like something that I really had to worry about. I figured one day I'd die and he'd be like, hey, I'm glad you didn't ever kill anybody. Come on into heaven. You know what I mean? But it's not, you know, so I was literally walking around and I started to get this weird feeling of like, just unsettling, like, that I was doing something wrong, and I just felt bad about it, and I was like, and I started to get this feeling, and I started thinking about all the amazing things in my life, my family, how great they are, and how I really did have an amazing girlfriend, and a great job, and just so many fun memories and things that I could remember, and I just started to get this conviction of that God was really, like, trying to say, all those great things you have in your life, all that stuff, that was from me, and I'm the one who gave you all those things. So how can you yell at her, or how can you treat her poorly for, you know, for her wanting to live for me? And so it was tough, but I went back in the house and I was like, I don't know what's going on and I don't know what you need. And maybe, you know, maybe I thought she was going to kind of, you know, forget about it after a week. Like in a week, she'd be like, hey, by the way, like, I'm sorry. That was just like a little phase of my life. I'm going to go back to being a normal person now. You know what I mean? And I was kind of hoping for that. But you know what? She said, will you come to Calvary with me next week? Like, she grew up here, so she knew about Skip and she knew about Calvary and knew that it was a, you know, a great Bible-based church. And so she said, you know, when you were gone, obviously, when this happened, I went to Calvary and it really just confirmed what I had, the decision I had made in my life. And I said, out of respect for you, I'll go. But don't think that anything's going to happen, all right? Like, I'll go because I respect you and because you came down here with me. And so I'll do you that favor in return and I'll go with you. And so she said, okay. So I went. And the first time, I'm not sure what happened. I didn't know how to process it all because I kind of thought it was cool. Like, I was like, they were playing really cool songs and people were like normal. You know, I grew up in this kind of church world where you always thought that you were, that God was untouchable and that you needed a priest to talk to God, and you were just kind of, all you had to do was show up on Sunday and then you could live your life the way you wanted to the other 6 days of the week. So the first time I went, like I said, it was okay. I got this weird feeling and I was like, you know, I'm just going to put that away for now because I don't know what that means. So that kind of brings me to my next passage here that I want to read, which is Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. So let me switch the page here. But God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ and raised us up together and placed us and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the next part. So, you know, I kind of didn't know what to make of the situation when I went on Sunday. So she said, well, why don't you come on Wednesday? And I was like, church twice a week? Like, whoa, that's, you know, that's crazy. But I was like, all right, I'll go. I kind of want to go. And I went, and Skip was teaching a message called The Deadly Art of Procrastination. And what that means is that he was teaching on a passage basically saying, who are you to say that you're going to be here one more minute, one more hour, one more day, one more week, one more year? None of us here know anything. We don't know when we didn't know when we were going to be born. We don't know when we were going to die. And so the message was about urgency, about that literally, if you say no to the gospel tonight and you go home and die, you don't get a second chance. It doesn't work that way. You get one chance to say yes to the Lord, and we need to take every opportunity that we can with other people to spread the gospel, obviously, for that reason, because we know it's urgent. We know that it's not just something that you can go home and think about for a couple weeks, and then if you feel like it, then maybe you will, because you're not granted those 2 weeks, perhaps. And maybe you will live 80 more years, but that's you don't know that. Some of you might not. And so I heard that, and it just really struck my heart, and I was like, I don't know. My gosh, what if I've been living this whole time in sin, and what if God would have took me while I was partying someday, or while I was living impure with my girlfriend? What if he would have took me at one of those moments? I would have spent the rest of eternity apart from him, in hell, in a place that I don't want to be, and I don't want nothing to do with. And so I literally got that conviction of the Spirit, and I gave my life to Christ that night, and it's just been insane ever since. It's been amazing, and life-changing, and just consumed me with so much love that God, like it says here, who has exceeding mercy, that even when I was doing all those things, that he looked upon me and said, I still love you so much that I'm going to give you these opportunities to be with me. So that brings us to the next passage, which is Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. So this brings me to the point of what I call building up and what it says. We're being built together. God is the gigantic stone, and all of us are built on it, and we are going to make a holy temple. We make up the body of Christ. And so after I got saved, it was just it was all consuming. I couldn't put the Bible down. I just wanted to serve. I wanted to know more and more. And all those questions that I had, which are those really tough questions that I'm sure all of you have tonight, I got answers for all of those. There was nothing that I felt like I was settling for, or, oh, well, that doesn't make much sense. I guess that's just what I'm going to have to do now that I believe in God and I'm following Christ. I got all those answers, and I searched them out, and I found that it was all relevant, and that if it was all relevant, then there must be an action to that. That if God is real, then God can do whatever he wants. And if God says you do this, then I do that. And if God says this is how we should live, then I live that way. Because if he made the place, then who am I to say how I should be living, or who's going to go to heaven and hell, and who's a good person and who's not a good person? So I've just been, this part, like I said, is called, you know, built up in Christ. I just had this will to want to serve God, to learn about God. And that's what happens when you truly come to the Lord, and you really do lay everything down at his feet and say, I've been living this horrible life, like, please cleanse me and forgive me. He gives you this crazy renewed strength to want to seek after him, and that has came to me to this day. I have that passion to this very minute, and that's why I'm here with you guys. So the last passage and where I'm going to end here is Ephesians 3:8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's really how I feel. I feel like Like, I don't deserve any of this. That, you know, I should be some great story that, you know, I should be coming up here telling you guys that, oh, I've lived my life pure my whole life, and I'm a man of God who's never, you know, wavered in his faith, or that I had this near-death experience and I saw it all so clearly and it was crazy. No, I'm just I'm just the least of all among everyone who God was so gracious enough to say, I still love you. And that's how it is for all you guys. You don't have to be a mighty person or a popular person or have this or have that. It doesn't matter. God loves you just the way you are, and he wants your heart. And God wanted my heart for this whole time. And even when I wasn't living for God 5 years ago, 6 years ago, for my entire life, God still kept his eye on me. And he has been using these situations in my life to get me to this point where I'm at now. And so he's doing the same thing for you guys. He's using everything, every day you do, to point to him and say, you need me, and you should come to me, because I can tell you it's going to be a million times more amazing when you do. And that's really how I feel. It's, my life has never been better, and I'm happy to say that me and my fiance, we've been living apart now for over a year and a half, and we've never been closer to each other. We've never been closer to God. And, you know, we took the step of faith to say that, you know, we want to live right. So we moved out. After living together for over 2.5 years, we said no more. And we've been living apart for a year and a half, and now we're getting married in June. And I'm so stoked about that, to do it right and do it the way that God would want it, so that he blesses our marriage, you know. So just one last quick thing. So in this whole service part, I've just been wanting to serve God and learn about God. And, you know, I came here and I was like putting an application like, hey, I want to do anything. I'll pass out candy on Halloween to fall festival for all the kids. I'll sweep floors, whatever. I'll do it because I want to serve God, and no matter how I can. So I put in an application, and months went by and I never heard from anybody. And, you know, I said, no problem. It's cool. I'm just, maybe God's telling me that, you know, I'm supposed to use this next couple of months to grow. And so I read books, read the Bible, and just really grew in the Lord. And I kid you not, one day I got a call from a lady who does all the, you know, who you have to talk to if you want to volunteer or get a job here or whatever. And she said, hey, come in and have an interview, you know, and we'll talk and see what you can do. And, you know, maybe there'll be some opportunities for you to volunteer. I was like, super. So, you know, I went in and I told her my whole story, the story I'm telling you now. And she was just like, wow. Man, God's really been trying to talk to you and really tell you some things. I got this really crazy feeling that you should totally go work with students. You know, so let me talk to Jackie and let me talk to Nate and Kevin and see, you know, if there's a position to be like a leader over there, you know. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, if that's where you guys feel, because that's what I felt. I was like, I'm going to let God just direct me. If God wants me to sweep floors and wipe down tables, no problem. And if God wants me to preach the gospel, then I'll do that too. Whatever God feels I'm ready for, I'll do that. So I was literally, once again, driving down the street, and I got a call from Jackie, and she said, hey, we'd love to have you come serve in student ministries. Would you like to work with Velocity or Vertical? And I don't know why I said it, and I know it was the Lord. I said, hey, how about Velocity? And that's kind of where I'm at right now, you know? With you guys, the least of all the saints, blessed enough to serve with you guys, be here, serve with Pastor Kevin, and just be so excited to be here. And I'm just glad that this story is a continuing story. And this is just my story up to this point. And someday in 10 years when I tell the story, I'll have so much more to say after the Velocity part and what we did together as the body of Christ in Velocity, and what I'll do later on through Christ. And so, you know, like I said, this is my story, and it's a continuing story, but it's a great story because I know the ending of the story, and the ending of the story is that I get to go be with God, and that can be the ending to all of your stories too. So that's pretty much my story, guys. I just figure there's nothing better to get to know each other than a conversation. So thanks for letting me speak my heart.